Acts chapter 20 and verse.
Acts 20:17, if you will. You know, talking about preaching on the street. Adrian was speaking about that. And a thought went through my mind a few weeks ago, I guess, about what we preach on the street. What do we preach? We preach on the street or in a meeting or wherever we may be. What do we preach when we preach the gospel? And there's a lot of people in this world, a lot of Christians maybe really say that they preach a gospel that is foreign to what I preach, to what I understand. Verse 17 says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." This is Paul. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And as I've read this verse, you know, many times, and as I thought about it, on my notes here, it says, first of all, it says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. You know, one thing for sure about the gospel is it is all-inclusive.
Amen.
It touches everybody in the world, every soul on earth it touches. There's nobody excluded from the gospel. The poor, the rich, the ones that live in nice houses, ones that live in slums, the ones that have never heard the gospel before, the ones that don't go to church, and also the ones that go to church. The gospel is for everybody. It's for Jews and for Greeks. Paul didn't say, I've preached to the high class of the Jews, because they understand the gospel better than the Greeks, or better than the low class of the Jews. He preached the gospel to Jews and the Greeks also. The gospel he preached, it touched all. It didn't exclude anybody. And we need to be careful, you know, in our own life, in our own preaching, about how we preach the gospel. You know, I know in my own heart, and I am almost sure that I'm not the only one that thinks this way, you know, that we see somebody that we either, I'll go somewhere else. You know, this man here, he looks kind of down or kind of poor, or whatever reason it is, and we want to pick somebody else. You know, we go down the street, and we want to talk to somebody in the park, and we scout them out, you know, we find the best one we want to preach to. You know, and I know that that's wrong, but yet in my own subconscious mind, I do that, trying to find the best person to preach to. We need to be careful when we preach the gospel to preach it to one and all.
Amen.
To preach it to the little kids, to preach it to the teenagers,
Amen.
To the adults, to the ones that are older, the senior citizens, whoever it is, to preach the gospel. You never know who gets saved. You never know, talking about Alex's parents. You never would have thought that them coming from Guatemala would have gotten saved.
Amen.
You know, you think people that are that old, that they're set in their ways, and they're never going to get saved. They'll tell you that. They'll say, no, just run on, going down the road, because I'll never get saved, I'll never change. I've been Catholic since I was a kid, and I'll never get saved. I'll never become a Christian like you. I'll never become crazy like you, so just go on down the road. But if we just keep on, whoever they may be, whatever the excuse may be, just keep on trying. We never know who might get saved. But then the part that really touched me is that next phrase. It says, repentance toward God. And I know there's a lot of people in this world that kind of shun away from that word. They don't like the word repentance. But it's because maybe one reason they don't understand what repentance is. You know, down in Mexico, we preach the gospel to a lot of religious people. I mean, the majority of them are in some way or another religious. Some may be more religious than others. Some may be more zealous than others. But they all, in some way, one way or another, religious. They go to Mass at least once a week, you know. And some of them that are very religious go every day. And they go on these pilgrimages for 150, 200 miles, walking all the way. And so, there are people that are very religious, but at the same time, they're dead in sins.
Yeah.
At the same time, they are lost in trespasses and sins, and they are falling from God. Look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59, starting with verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has murdered perverseness. And it goes on, speaking of how the swift has shed blood, and how there's no righteousness in them, there's no justice in them. And that's how men are. That's man himself. He is separated from God by his sin, and we need, when we preach the gospel, to preach repentance. Not repentance that, okay, now when you get your life straight, then you have faith in Christ. Not that kind of repentance. Not saying, okay, just go to church every day, do your best, read your Bible, and then trust in Christ, your Savior. That's not repentance. Repentance is when you get down on your knees and you realize your sin. You see your sin as it is. Not as something that's not so bad. Oh, well, God overlooks those things there. They're not sins, they're just mistakes. That's how people say. I don't sin, I just make mistakes. But the truth of the matter is that we all have sin. And until we come to the point to see that sin as God sees it, we'll never be saved. A man that's out in the lake that is drowning, he will never get saved unless he realizes he's drowning. Unless he realizes that there's no hope. Unless he realizes that he doesn't know how to swim. And then he realizes that he's drowning, he'll never ask for help. He'll just keep on going down until he comes to the point to realize, hey, something's wrong. You know, I mean, my nose was up here, and now it's down here, and I'm going down in the water. And when he realizes that, then he'll cry for help. And the same way, a man, he will not ask for salvation from God until he realizes his sin. Until he sees himself as a person without hope, without Christ, that has a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked, he will never get saved. And so, we need to remember, when we preach the gospel, to preach repentance. To preach to them, listen, sir, you are a sinner. And you without Christ are going to hell. And your sin is going to send you there. But if you realize your sin, if you see your sin as God sees it, if you see it as something that is going to send you to hell, something that's condemning you to hell for all eternity, if you realize that, but realize that Christ already paid for that sin, you can be saved. No, I find myself sometimes trying to make the gospel real simple, real simplified. The gospel is simple. It's very simple. But we need to be careful that we don't jump over a few steps. Amen. To get them there. We say, well, they're bad, but and I'm sure they know it. They'll just tell them to have faith in Christ. But we need to not skip that part of repentance. Amen. Not skip the part that make them realize how they are. Make them realize that they have no goodness in them. That they have nothing in them that merits goodness, merits salvation. When they get to that point, then you go on to the next point about faith in Christ. But that word repentance, it's on my mind a lot of times, because we're dealing with people that are so religious, but yet so deep in sin. Not that they're any more sinners than we are, but just the idea that they will go down to the bar and get drunk on Saturday night, but Sunday morning no sweat, because they can go down and confess. And then the next week it's the same thing. It's week in, week out, and that's just one thing. We're talking about things all through their lives the same way. And until they see that as sin, and not just, just a little thing, just a little mistake or something I shouldn't do. Until they see it as a black sin that deserves God's judgment, God's wrath, they won't be saved. Man. And God lets us know many times in his word about repentance, how necessary it is for salvation. Look in Luke 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffer such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He's saying, listen, I don't care if you're better than they are. I don't care if they did worse things than you. I don't care if you go to church. He says, you don't repent, you'll all likewise perish. If you don't repent of your sins and get saved, you shall all go to hell. It doesn't matter who's better than who, or who has more sins than who, or who's going to mass more often than others. It matters about sin. Do you see your sin as it is? Do you see your sin as black as could be, that has no hope of getting any cleaner in your own power? Acts 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
He's commanded all men everywhere, in Mexico, yes, in the United States, yes, in China, yes, all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
All men in the Baptist church, yes, to repent. All men everywhere to repent of their sins to get saved. 2 Peter 3:9. A verse that we're all very familiar with. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
God wants men to come to repentance. He wants men to come to him and repent of their sins. To come to him asking for forgiveness because of their sin, because they see their sin as it is, because they see their sin as he sees it. He wants men to repent. 1 Thessalonians, oh, skip that one. Look at John 3. John 3. The next phrase says, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Once you get the repentance down, once you get down and you see your sin, once you get down to realize, God, I've sinned. God, I am not good. God, I am not righteous. I am unclean. I am filthy rags. Then, you can have faith in Christ. You can put your faith in Christ, who was good, who was clean, who was not filthy rags, who was perfect, and he died to take your place. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Faith in Christ is what saves us. Faith in his blood, faith in what he has done, is what saves us from our sins. John 6:40. John 6:40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What a promise. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He didn't just stop at everlasting life. He said, and I will raise him up at the last day. Just to make sure there's no doubt, I will raise him up at the last day. What a promise. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians. And we see here an example of Paul's preaching. A proof of what his preaching did. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2 have always been a real help to me as a preacher. Because it shows us what Paul did and the effects he had. It shows what Paul did and what came out of it. It shows that he preached the gospel, not trying to please men, not trying to get money, not trying to tickle people's ears, just preaching the gospel like it is, and trusting God that to do the results, and we see the results. Chapter 1 and start with verse 5. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. They were already preaching the gospel in other places. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul says, you people have turned to God from the idols to serve him. To serve the living and true God, they turn from the idols, they turn from their sin, they turn from their idolatry and all that they had, and they turn to God to serve him. That's repentance.
Amen.
They turn to God. Repentance causes a faith in Christ. Well, as we're preaching down in Mexico, we have a lot of opposition, of course. As you all well know from our letters, I'm sure, a lot of opposition from people. And for this reason, one of them is because of repentance. We preach against sin. We don't preach, you know, well, just do what you want to do, but come to our church. Or just live like you want to do, but pray this prayer. We preach repentance. And a lot of people don't like that.
That's right.
But we need to be steadfast and bold in preaching the gospel, not trying to please men, not trying to get more converts, not trying to simplify the gospel to get more converts, but to preach the gospel to get true converts.
Amen.
To get converts that will be saved, or be really saved, that will stick when the going gets tough.
Amen.
Converts that will come and they'll realize why they're saved. They will have no doubt that their salvation is not in themselves. They will not come to the meeting saying, well, it's good, I'm glad I'm here, you know, I did it myself, I'm so glad. But they'll come to church like we do. They come to the meeting saying, praise the Lord, I'm saved.
Amen.
I have no merit in myself. I have no goodness in myself. I'm all unclean, I'm filthy rags, but God saved me. God saw me as I was. He saved me as I was. And now He's changed me. He saved me. And I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And if we preach the gospel like that, we trust God for results. If we were trusting men for results, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. If we were trying to please men or trying just to get quick converts, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing.
Right.
That's just foolish. I mean, people all over the world are doing it the easy way. And they're getting all kinds of converts. And so if we want that, we could do it. We want to trust the Lord. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to preach the true gospel. Paul said there's another gospel that's not a gospel. He said that if any man preaches that, let him be cursed. And so we need to remember the gospel we preach is only one gospel. There's not several applications of the gospel. It's one true gospel. And if you're going to preach the gospel, the Bible says you got to preach repentance and faith. You got to preach repentance to God and faith to Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.